We are talking. It
All
is the
right.
25th anniversary of Star Wars One, The Phantom Menace. Man, we're getting old.
Oh. That seriously. I've been on a long time, Joey.
Okay, but 25 years since The Phantom Menace came out.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Before we talk about the movie, I want to talk about the lead up to the movie and the history. You had, of course, Star Wars in 1977, Empire Strikes Back in 1980, Return of the Jedi in 1983,
Yep,
and
wasn't born
then
for any of those.
there you go. Well, how old were you for Phantom Menace?
Phantom Menace, I was 10 when it came
Okay,
out. Yeah, I was 10 years old. This was like the equivalent of you guys seeing it back in the day and
I
seeing the
was
original trilogy.
I just got married. I got married in 1998. So
There you go.
there
I was pregnant with my youngest in 99, and so yes.
you go.
Yeah.
But so I don't know if Andrew will remember this, but I know you will, Pam. When Star Wars was over, you know, it's like, wow, we got, you know, okay, it's amazing. And then we went through the 80s, nothing.
No Star Wars.
Through the 90s, nothing. We were starved for Star Wars content, and all we got was like some comic books and some books that really didn't, that were sort of, you know, they just did their own thing. And gosh, and then we get the announcement of the re-releases, the special editions of the original trilogy. And that was in 1997. And
Okay.
also, we got the announcement that there will be a prequel trilogy. And from what I, you know, just read, George Lucas was so burned out from Star Wars. And can you blame him? I mean, he basically made everything from scratch. He was
Yeah.
just done. He's like, okay, I'm done with Star Wars. And then something happened. And what the introduction of CGI. Do you know a movie that inspired him to make the prequels?
Oh, I actually don't know the answer to this, but I know one of the reasons that inspired him to make this, but go ahead.
Okay, the movie that inspired him was Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow.
Jurassic, he
No,
saw the
wait.
CGI in Jurassic Park and said, maybe we could do something with this.
That
And
makes
that
sense.
inspired him. And I think it was announced in like 1993 or something like that, that he's thinking about making prequels. But I just remember in 97, that was the, like, people were starting to go crazy. Like, oh my God, he's making new movies because he just re-released the special editions. And I remember the special editions. I went out to see them. And I remember, especially the first one of episode four, the special edition coming out. That was a packed theater. People were still crazy for Star Wars. Pam, did you see the special editions when they came out on the theater?
I feel like I saw Return of the Jedi. I don't know that I saw all three of them when That they was my came favorite out.
of the original trilogy.
Yeah, I was yeah, I feel like I saw the Return of the Jedi in the theater, the special edition.
But Pam, were you the same way back then? That's like, oh my God, when is a new Star Wars going to come out? Why aren't they making new Star Wars? And then the excitement of when they actually did make a new Star Wars?
Oh my God, yeah, definitely, definitely. I was gonna ask you, I'm glad you said that. I couldn't remember when the announcement was made. I know I lived here in Bethel Park, and I know that we moved here in 97, and I remember hearing about it and just being like, oh my God. So I mean, 2 years before, that's a long time to be excited and anticipate. So
Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
he was pioneering new technology with this movie. That's one of the big reasons he did it was this is, I think, the first movie with a fully CGI character, like a complete CGI character. I'm pretty sure.
he is George Lucas is such an innovator. He innovated with Clone Wars. There was a lot of innovations with that when he made that. But yeah, there was a lot of innovations that and yeah, you know, using a CGI character. That was almost unheard of back then, you know, a fully CGI character. And
Yeah.
it for good or bad, it brought in basically a new era of movie making. That's it's like Sometimes it's like all green screen, all CGI things. So, that ushered in a new era of movie making.
Well, I read something that all of the sets were built like only 6 feet high, and then the rest of it was supposed to be green screen, and then they had to build like an extra half foot on because Liam Neeson's like 6'4" or something like that. I feel like I think I read that somewhere that they were
I've seen
planning
that
on
so many
having
times.
like
It
a
cost him an
background.
extra 150,000 because Liam Neeson was so tall. That's so funny.
Liam Neeson's just a tall son of a,
Yeah.
I know. I used to watch the when these guys came out, these three movies came out on whatever form they came out first. I watched the extra, the special editions and the credits and the extra, stuff constantly. So I've heard all that stuff too about the green screen and having to do all that stuff. I watched it constantly, like obsessively. So I get it.
This is the
People
one
get
one.
mad. So, sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
I was gonna say this is the one of the prequels that I think I've seen the most. Like, is episode one. I think this is the one I've seen the most of the
Okay.
prequel
Okay.
trilogy.
Okay. I forgot what I was gonna say. Yeah, it was just so much fever pitch. And then there was a phenomenon of they announced when the trailer was released, and it was during this movie, Meet Joe Black. There was actually a couple movies that they announced that the Star Wars trailer would be in this movie. So pe what people would do is they would get tickets to see these movies, watch the trailers, wait for the Star Wars trailer, and then get the hell out of there and not even bother to watch the movie.
Probably bumped Meet Joe Young or whatever that movie was. Probably bumped that movie's ticket sales.
Right. They're probably thinking, "Yeah, wow, this is a great movie. We did really good box office numbers." Like, no, we're just here for the damn trip. So funny. I mean, it was just funny. We were just so starved. 16 years we had to wait for a new Star Wars content. Now we wait, 16 days for it seems like
Yeah,
there's a new Star Wars
I
thing
was
coming
gonna
out.
say, I feel like they're putting out Star Wars content left and right nowadays.
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
there's gotta be a happy medium somewhere.
Right.
They're gonna run
Right.
into
There's
the same
the
wall that Marvel
no.
ran into.
Yeah, how much is too much? The trailer, and it was released on May 19th, 1999. They didn't get the memo to release things on May 4th yet. They didn't start that tradition yet. It was set 32 years before the original trilogy. There's some things I just learned that kind of blew my mind. For the part of Qui-Gon, they were these actors were discussed. Denzel Washington, Tom Hanks, Morgan Freeman, and Kurt Russell were considered for the part of
I
Qui-Gon.
could
Could
see
you imagine
Kurt
Tom
Russell.
Hanks?
No,
Kurt
Morgan
Russell.
Freeman. That would have been an interesting one. How did
Morgan
they
Freeman, that would have
how
been
did they go from those guys to Liam
They originally thought of Qui-Gon as like a really old grizzled dude with a big beard kind of thing. So I could see
Neeson?
like a Morgan Freeman with a big beard or something like that, or
Morgan Freeman can do anything.
but Denzel's too young for that at that point in his career.
I can't imagine Tom Hanks as
No.
Qui-Gon Jim. That would
That's
yeah,
called
but
he
I
was the It Man, so that was it. So
yeah, yeah.
yeah. That is true. Wasn't
Natalie,
Castaway around that time? I think that might have been
yeah,
70.
around that time, yeah, something,
Yeah,
yeah,
so
around
that
that.
he could pull off the grizzled beard look if that's what they were going for. Maybe
Well,
they thought
he did,
Castaway.
yeah. I mean, he and Forrest Gump was in
Forrest Gump.
1994. So, Natalie Portman, who played Queen Amidala,
Love her.
she missed the premiere party in New York because she had to go home to study for her high school final exams.
She was
Oh,
like
wow.
15 when they filmed this, like, or
Yeah.
14 or something like that. Yeah, she was not that old.
Who did you hear who wanted to play Jar Jar Binks?
Oh, who?
Michael Jackson.
God. That would
That
have
would
been
have been
interesting.
amazing. That would
That
have
would have been
been
interesting. Jar Jar
come
gets a bum
on.
rap. We can talk about that, but he gets a bum rap. I'm sorry.
Oh, we got a
We'll
lot to
definitely have
talk
words
about
on Jar
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 Jar. We got a
Poor
lot.
Jar Jar. Oh no, poor Jar Jar.
All right. So let's talk about the movie. We got to the opening crawl, and it says turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic. The taxation of trade routes just
Most
outlines star
boring
systems in
opening
dispute.
crawl.
Like, oh my goodness, we're talking about taxation?
Hey,
No.
but now in retrospect, seeing it with the in the context of the entire saga, I must say I appreciate that. I know I didn't appreciate it in 1999, but I appreciate that backstory now.
I don't appreciate
Yeah.
the bit about taxation and trade routes like that. That like you can just tell me that people have a blockade on a planet and there's no food getting to them. Like that's all you needed to tell me. I didn't need to know it was about like taxation and Republican senates making votes and stuff. Like that was a bit too much for me,
But
especially when I
it
was
all
10
set
years
up
old.
what Darth Sidious, was doing.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so hoping to resolve the matter with a blockade of deadly battleships, the greedy Trade Federation has stopped all shipping to the small planet of Naboo. While the Congress of the Republic endlessly debates this alarming chain of events, the Supreme Chancellor has secretly dispatched two Jedi Knights, the Guardians of Peace and Justice in the galaxy, to settle the conflict. And the first thing we see is Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn. Oh my God. Young Obi-Wan, played by Ewan McGregor, and Qui-Gon Jinn, played by Liam Neeson. Boom. And the first thing Obi-Wan says is, I have a bad feeling about this. Boom,
Yeah.
we're going with the hits right away.
Oh,
just remember
man.
getting such a thrill the first time I saw that. And I felt that same thrill seeing it this time in the same
Yeah.
theater that I saw it 25 years ago. Like it was, yeah.
The thing that I've thought, watching it again 25 years later is, just in general, kind of crapping on the prequels, saying, what is this? What is this crap? The prequels sucked. And it's like, but the more you watch it and seeing the first one again, they weren't bad. They weren't,
No.
they were,
I've always been a prequel defender. Always.
yeah, they're not as bad as people make them out to be.
Yeah.
And like the original trilogy gets, I think, rose-colored glasses a little bit. Like
I
the
agree.
original Star Wars is it's good, and for its time, it was amazing. But it's a pretty basic story. Like it's nothing ground. It was nothing groundbreaking.
Well,
So
he
yeah.
made
I
it. He ma
disagree
he said
there.
he made it for, kids. And we could see he made some of these prequels also for kids, especially some parts of this one. But yeah, I will always think that the original trilogy is the greatest thing ever because that's me. That was me growing up. That was me as a 10-year-old watching
And
these
that's
movies. It was my, so I'm always going to think that everything in the original trilogy is the greatest thing ever. Even the murder bears.
even the
Even
murder bears.
the murder
I like Ewok. I will defend Ewok.
So the
Hero.
so so Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are there. Obi-Wan got rocking his braid. He got his Padawan braid because that's the Jedi tradition of when you're a Padawan,
He's a
you wear your
Padawan
braid.
braid. I did forget
Which we didn't
about
learn
that.
till then, but
Right, we didn't.
yeah,
Yeah,
again,
we
this
didn't
is
know
all
that.
new information. Like, oh, okay, they're called Padawan. Like, we're learning all this information as they're just kind
Right.
of spitting it out, like we're supposed to know. But
Right.
it's kind of cool the way they did that, though. I mean, they didn't just, it was not so on the nose that you're like, this is the way this is. You know, you see
They
this
didn't
and you hear the
exposition the heck out of it.
conversation, right?
Yeah, they
Which I
didn't
liked.
exposition the heck out of it. They just threw it in like a general point of conversation, and they were like, "Oh, Padawan, that must mean like an apprentice Jedi." Like, and we could infer that from context clues. So I do
And
have to ask this: these scenes, first opening scenes on the ship, the Nemoidians, racist or no?
wow, that
Why
is
is he? I didn't even
that's
think of that.
that's a big that that was a big accusation because and I just heard that they based
I know it came up.
their dialect and stuff on like Asian di Japanese a combination of things. I don't it does kind of sound I don't know I could see why you could say it sounds kind of racist like the Trade Federation
Oh
oh like
God, I didn't
it's
even. Yeah, I was gonna say it kind of reminds me of like the South Park character, the guy that runs like the Chinese restaurant in South Park, City Walk. And I'm like, that voice is a little
Yeah,
iffy, but
I can
I,
see.
they're not a big enough part of it to really derail it for me though.
But yeah, I mean, this was an awesome first scene. They try to kill the Jedi, and now we have our first view of the droids, and that was cool. And we saw and like the other thing that was so appealing about this whole prequels is when did we see the Jedi in the original trilogy? We saw Old Man Ben, Old Man Darth Vader,
Old Man Yoda.
Old Man Yoda, Luke not knowing what the heck he was doing. So we didn't really see, it was, it was promised that now we're seeing the Jedi at their peak. We're seeing the Jedi, at the height of their powers. And here we see it right away. We see Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan just kicking butt. Yeah, they were a bunch of weak ass droids, but still they were kicking butt. It was so cool. And they say, oh, we sealed the doors. There's no way they could get through the door. They used
Close the blast doors.
the lightsaber to cut up the, and they're like, what?
That opening fight with the droids is underrated, I decided after watching it again. It's
Oh, I enjoy the
underrated
heck out of that fight.
because you get so much information just from watching that. Like, here's where they are with the droids, and here's what the lightsabers can do, and here's the young Jedi, and here's the heroes, and there's so much that's there without coming out, like you said, not exposition about it. It's here it is, larger
Qui-Gon
than
loved his
life.
jump up and do split kicks. That's like his move throughout the whole movie. Jump up, split kick. Yeah. I think Ewan McGregor was just really proud of that move or something.
Well, Ewan McGregor was so excited to be in this, and every time he used the lightsaber, he would make the
Yeah, I
lightsaber
did know that. Yeah.
That's
They're like,
"Uh, dude, can you stop doing that?" Also, you know who did something similar? What's her name in the sequel? Admiral, what's her name? What's her name? The admiral that crashed the thing into the other thing.
Oh, Holdo, Admiral
Holdo, yeah.
Holdo, yeah.
When she was shooting, every time she was shooting her blaster, she would go pew pew pew
Pew
pew.
pew, pew
I
pew. Oh, I love
would totally
that.
do that too. I would.
Yeah,
That's
I forgot about that. I have read that.
So yeah, the Trade Federation is blockading the planet Naboo, and then we meet Padme Amidala, and she's talking to Senator Palpatine, who this was amazing. They got the same dude from 16 years ago who happened to just be the Emperor. That
Which
was
is
so
that is
cool.
amazing. That's I was thinking about that while I was watching it. Like, what great casting and how cool that he did it, and the just to tie it all together. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I don't know
I
who
did like that
this.
he was a true character.
I mean, I don't know who this Lord Sidious guy is, but I mean the guy that played Senator Palpatine, great job. So then the Jedi escape and they're on the surface and they meet Jar Jar
Jar
Binks.
Jar.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Ooh,
Oh, Jar
Misa,
Jar.
no, no, no,
Whiskey, more
no,
dimension.
I'm just gonna say I am not a fan. But it seemed like George Lucas. Now George Lucas, when he made he obviously made the original, the original Star Wars. He wrote and directed that, and then he passed off directing Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi to other people. And he tried to get other directors for this movie. He tried to get Ron Howard and like the big directors of the time, and they're like, no man, this is your thing. This is like we're not, I don't think we can handle this. This is your thing, man. You do your thing with this. So George Lucas basically wrote, directed, did the whole dang thing in this, and he said, Jar Jar Binks, that's our big guy. That's gonna be our big character. And people hated the hell out of this dude.
Oh,
never hated him.
I mean,
Sorry, never hated him.
you never hated him.
Never
You didn't
hated
even
him.
find him like mildly annoying.
No, I didn't. I don't know if it's because I had young kids at the time and my son was really into it. And he was, let's see, he was almost 9 when this came out. So he was probably the right age, maybe. And that helped.
So your son liked Jar Jar
They,
Jar?
yeah, my son loved, I mean, he loved
Okay.
the prequels. He did.
But he was, but the Jar Jar character, he thought that was,
I
cute or
don't,
whatever.
I
He just
mean,
liked it.
I think he did. I don't remember him not liking him.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I,
I
and
mean,
I don't,
it was geared toward kids.
it
So
was.
if
Yeah,
the kids like
definitely.
it, then that's, that there you go.
My son was probably the
I mean,
perfect
Jar Jar
age. He
was
was
their
probably the
merchandising.
target market.
Like,
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I can't say my son had an
I
action
just.
figure of Jar Jar, but.
I don't condemn this movie or damn this movie because of Jar Jar. Like, I know there are people out there that are just like bit like bile when they talk about this because of Jar Jar. He's more of an annoyance in scenes where I think he could just not be in and the scene would have played better, but that's as far as I'll go on the Jar Jar hate.
It was intended for kids.
Right.
There were comedic parts of Jar Jar goofing around and stuff. So,
And him being clumsy and like awkward and
Yeah.
you know who what character bothered me in this movie? It was never Jar Jar. The Roger droids got on my nerves.
Roger, Roger.
Roger,
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 Roger.
Roger,
Yeah.
Roger, Roger. I don't do anything right. I'm useless
And
completely. Roger,
they
Roger.
were so inept.
That was also kind of the same thing for comedic
Right.
relief for, I don't want to say for the kids, but it was basically for comedian, the whole
Yeah.
Roger thing. So.
Well, and they did that. They made the droids inept on purpose because Lucas wanted late down the road for there to be like an obvious reason why they went away from droids and went to clones. So he wrote it that way on purpose.
Okay.
Comedic relief also, but like it was, he wanted them to seem inept so that there would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense that we're going away from robots and going to clones later on in the story. We didn't know that, of course, at the time, but.
So they save Jar Jar and then they swim to the Gungan city and
That is so gross. That grosses me out every time.
I was not a fan of the Gungans either, gotta tell you.
The
But
spit rolling off his mouth.
they tell the Gungans, well, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan tell them you need to help the people of Naboo. And they're like, screw them. I mean, I'm sure
Yeah.
they had a history, and I'm sure the people of Naboo are like, probably like, ooh, we don't want to associate with you scum. So I
You weird
probably
frog
wouldn't blame
people.
them for not helping him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them for not helping. The thing that this movie doesn't touch on that I really would have liked to see is how did the droids get to those cities and like push them out of the cities by like the end of the movie? Like, they didn't exactly look like they were aquatically equipped. I wanted to see how that happened. That would have been a
Oh,
cool scene,
because they were
but.
attacking the Gungans also, or we heard they attacked them or something like that. Yeah, how is that
Yeah,
going to
because
happen?
like they go to like a safe place at the at towards the end, and that's when Jar Jar gets made like Bombad General and like all that stuff. They're not in the underwater city when that happens. I want to know how the droids got down there. Like that would have been a cool scene for me, but again, I digress.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Come after us? We're here in the water. You use that one foot in the water, you're gonna electrocute. Like, what's yeah? What's the plan here?
You have to assume there's
Yeah,
some cute little bubble ships that they could get into.
probably.
You just have to suspend that reality.
You gotta
We have to
suspend
make it
the
up in our
reality.
own
Sorry.
head. It's way,
That's
way cooler up
right.
here anyway. That's right.
So they get into some kind of weird submarine and they go.
Bongo.
The bongo, and they get these big fish are chasing them, and then one big fish eats another big fish,
There's
and
always a bigger
Qui-Gon's like,
fish.
there's always a bigger fish.
It's always a
See,
bigger
it
fish.
kind of ruins that. Now, one thing watching it now is when I hear Qui-Gon Jinn and when I hear Liam Neeson, I think of the dude from Taken, and it's I just
Oh
I mean
my God, me too. It's
I was just
impossible not
waiting for him to
to.
say,
He has a
I
very
was like,
particular set of
I
skills.
mean, yeah, it was a. They're gonna make it. Yeah. I don't know who you are, but
I will
I'm
find
gonna sit
you and I
again.
will kill
So,
you.
I will find you and I will get your
yeah.
midichlorian count and I will train you.
Imagine that. Imagine if they just somehow, use that. Just like if he
I,
just
you
like
know,
like
I'm sure
to
somebody
the
on
Darth
YouTube
Maul or
has
something
dubbed
like that.
clips over that.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody on YouTube has taken clips from Taken and dubbed it
I'm
over
sure they
Star
have.
Wars. Oh, that's great.
So the Lord Sidious says he'll take care of the Senate, and then they quote unquote capture the Queen, and the it was just like, ah, oh, victory. And then but the Jedi come, they rescue the Queen, they tell her to come to Coruscant, and so it's Padme and a bunch of handmaidens, and
One played by
or
Keira
no, I'm
Knightley.
sorry, Queen Amidala and a bunch of handmaidens. And by the way, the queen was played by Keira Knightley, and the handmaiden was played by
Natalie
Natalie
Portman,
Portman. And
who
apparently
look
they were
almost
like twins.
identical.
You couldn't tell them
Yeah.
apart.
Yeah. They look almost identical. It's weird.
And then we're introduced, so they try to escape the blockade, and they were introduced to R2-D2, who I guess was working for Naboo or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was funny when they're all the droids are on the on top of the ship, and they get picked off one by one. It's like this, I didn't realize being a droid was so dangerous.
Didn't realize
But
they got hazard pay.
R2-D2 saves the day. He gets a little ceremony, like thank you. And
How important was it, though, for them to do that? Like, it just, you're right back after all these years, you're right back in. R2-D2 is like he personifies the droids and how important they are. And of course, he's the one that's in every movie and he's amazing and he's a hero. So I was thrilled to see R2-D2 like that
loved
in
it.
that movie, in
Loved it.
episode
Loved
one.
seeing R2-D2. So the ship is damaged, and they end up on this remote planet in the outer rim, Tatooine. And
I was so excited the first time I saw that. I mean, I was like, oh, Tatooine, yay!
Tatooine, oh my God, they're going there.
I
They're
thought
going
they were gonna.
there.
I don't think I don't know if I thought it the first time, but like I definitely thought it this time. I was waiting for like somebody to make the Obi-Wan bit where it's like Mos Eisley, you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
He
I
kind
was
of did
like
say
kind of
something
waiting for
like that, but
somebody
he
to.
didn't. Yeah. And then so the Trade Federation is talking to Lord Sidious again, and they say, well, the ship escaped, we can't track the ship. And Lord Sidious says, don't worry, I'll send my apprentice to come find them. And here appears
Dun dun dun.
my man, Darth Maul, baby, let's
Best part of this
go.
movie. Best part of this movie.
You know, I as much as I hated the creation of Jar Jar Binks, I love the creation of Darth Maul, maybe the coolest
Agreed.
character in all of Star Wars history. Oh my God, they nailed it. They just absolutely nailed the look, the menace, everything. Just, oh my
I
God.
mean, they were a little on the nose with like the red and the horns of like very giving very like satanic demonic like looking vibes. But I mean, why be subtle when you're going for like the greatest evil in the
He
galaxy?
literally was patterned after the devil. They looked at things of the devil and said, "Oh yeah, let's go for the devil." Yeah.
But this is the introduction of having to have two Sith. So
This is
to
the rules
have,
too, yeah.
so the fact that they have this completely devil looking awesome Sith. You're right, Joey, they nailed it. That was the way it had to be. You had to see that here's the there's the two Sith. That's important. That's a thing. It's going to be a thing going forward. And this guy's awful. So you needed, I mean, right down to the double edged lightsaber. It was, yeah.
So
Well
cool.
done. Well done.
Perfect. Perfect. So they are on Tatooine, and they need a hyperdrive for their Naboo fighter, and they
Nubian,
go to
their Nubian cruiser. I just
the I'm
watched this
sorry, what
today. I know
was
all the
it?
lingo. It's a Nubian cruiser.
A Nubian cruiser. Okay. And they I have one of them right here.
Oh, I'm
They
jealous.
go to basically Napa Auto Parts of Tatooine, and they
Hayes
see his dude,
AutoZone.
and they ask Watto for parts, and he says Republic credits are no good here.
Yeah. What do
What?
you think? You're some Jedi waving your hand around like that? I
But
love Watto.
But that's like going to, I don't know. That's like going to like Brazil or something like that. It's like, oh, US dollars are no good here. Like, come on, we're the Republic, man.
But I mean, don't you
Well,
think that was just an a non on the nose way to say we are way out. We are not in the middle of the
yeah, that's.
galaxy. We are in on Tatooine, which is so far from, it's like saying a wretched hive of scum and villainy without saying a wretched
Right.
hive of scum and villainy.
And Anakin's
It's.
mother even says later, the Republic doesn't exist out here.
Yeah.
Like, we're beyond the reach of the
It's
Republic.
probably not even that we're far away from the Republic. It's probably like we got the worst dudes, like all the scum of the galaxy are here to get away from the Republic. So we want nothing to do with their laws or their money or anything like that. So don't even think about bringing that Republic thing crap here. So that's probably it.
Yeah. And in this scene, we also meet Jake Lloyd's Anakin. What did you all think of
Oh.
Anakin? What did you all think of Jake Lloyd as Jake Lloyd's
Okay,
portrayal?
okay.
He was adorable.
Because I know this,
Okay.
I know this is another big point.
Cute little boy. He quit acting because he got so much crap for his
Yeah.
portrayal of Anakin Skywalker. What are you doing ripping on a little kid? What do you
He
want
claims
from
this
this kid?
ruined his life. Yeah, he
Goodness.
claims this ruined his life.
He still appears at conventions, though.
Yeah, I think he's recovered from
Yeah.
that. They're probably like, hey, you want to appear at this convention? And like, oh, hell no, I want nothing to do with Star Wars. They're paying you 25,000. You know what? I'll be right there. What
In that case,
do
yeah.
you want me to say?
I love the way they did Anakin, and I really thought about that this time when I saw it. Sweet, adorable, blonde, the line he gives without thought of what he's getting in return, or however they say that. It's so
Yeah.
important that you know that about Darth Vader. So I think it was extremely well done.
But
And
Pam, let me ask you this. Are you an angel? I hear the deep space pilots talk about them all the time. That
Are you
was
an angel?
such a random line for
That
a
was so
9-year-old.
cute, though.
But that was my thought back then, and even Russia now is like, man. Immediately, Anakin was a little horny for Padme. Like immediately, like he's 9 and she's 14, and he got the
Yeah.
hots for her right away, man. You,
But
man, shoot your shot, bro.
the fact that he asks her if she's an angel is makes it so that it's not just that he has the hots for her. Like he just thinks she's amazing from the first time he sets eyes on her. Like, I don't know. I kind
They
of.
very much play it as it's love. He's in love at first sight. That comes across.
It
Jake Lloyd is not,
does.
again, he's not a deal breaker for me in this movie. He's not great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna like hand this kid an
I
Oscar
think
for
he's
like best
adorable.
performance,
He's a
but
kid. He's a kid just playing a kid. Like what do we now I thought it was interesting that originally they wanted Anakin to be 12, but they changed it to be him being 9 years old. So I think they wanted, like you said, Pam, the innocence, the little boy, this little boy, and we know what he becomes, but it's like he's just this innocent little kid. And so I thought that was a good choice to make him younger, to make it even more
Yeah, and it's only
innocent.
5 years. People make it such a big deal about the age difference. Like, come on, by the time they're upper teenager years, who cares that there's 5 years between that?
Yeah.
That criticism always annoyed me. Like, okay, big deal. So there's no 9-year-old who has a crush on a 14. You're like,
Yeah, who didn't have a crush on their babysitter? Like,
exactly. Every 9-year-old boy ever had a crush on a 14-year-old girl. Are you kidding?
I just,
Every
yeah, that criticism annoys me. Can we take a little side note right here? Because this is a good time to talk about it. How about the image that came out before the movie came out of Anakin with his backpack and Darth Vader as the shadow? If that wasn't the most impactful, awesome one, like everybody talks about the, original Star Wars movie posters, but for me, that image, other than Rogue One seeing the Death Star on the horizon, which is awesome.
it was
That image is
absolute
amazing.
perfection. It was
Yes.
absolutely
Yeah.
perfect. This
Yes.
little boy just standing there, but in the
Innocent.
shadow, and you see Darth Vader, like,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah. Like, it gives you chills. It gives me chills even to think about it. Like,
absolutely it's perfect. And you think, perfect. Yes. We also meet C-3PO, who Anakin built.
Yeah, was that ever hinted at in the original trilogy?
Anakin built C-3PO? Here's what happened. It was not ever hinted, because there was a time in Empire Strikes Back when they capture when they capture Leia and Han and C-3PO and Chewbacca, where remember they had that really awkward dinner. Not in the Empire Strikes Back, not in the movie, but in like the novelizations years later, there was a scene where Vader looked at C-3PO and said, "Oh yeah, I made you." And hey, I remember when I was a kid, and I remember when I was, that previous life. I remember this stuff.
But it wasn't in the movies.
It was not. No. It was retcon, basically.
Okay. All right. I was curious about that.
Yeah. So R2-D2 meets C-3PO, but C-3PO is not totally built. He's just
naked.
R2-D2 says, "You're naked. Hey, bro, you're naked." It's like,
My paws are showing.
I think it's cool to think about Anthony Daniels and how consistent his C-3PO was for all these movies. And he's so consistent. You would think there would be differences. There are none. Brilliant. Brilliant acting, underrated acting right there.
I mean, there's been almost, 40, 50 years between the first movie in 1977 and like the last sequel in the Rise of Skywalker out, and it's the same dude is still playing C-3PO, and he was really upset that he didn't get to play C-3PO in episode one. But remember, C-3PO is just a bunch of like wires and stuff, so he couldn't be in it.
I gotta ask, how do you guys feel about Anakin being immaculately conceived?
We really need a virgin mother? Come on, guys. I mean,
like,
I know
you have to make him space Jesus, like
but yeah,
that's
I mean,
exactly what I said,
space
Jesus.
But you know what? I used to write blog entries when I used to be on the hyperspace blog. About the midichlorians and what they meant, and is it actually like a virgin conception? Like, I don't know. That's one of those things that I'm willing to gloss over any kind of reality for.
We learned later that it was actually Sidious or Darth Plagueis or whatever that knocked her up, or however that was. So, I mean,
I thought they concluded he was like born of the living force or something.
I think that they implied that it wasn't that they used the force to impregnate her, but it was either Darth Sidious or Palpatine or Darth Plagueis or whatever who actually created that force that knocked her up. So
interesting. I'm not as into the Star Wars mythos as you guys are, so that part went past me. But the
still,
immaculate conception thing, they could have cut that out. They could have been like, "Oh, his dad died." Like, right. I would have accepted that better than, "Oh, there was no dad." Like, let's make this Jesus allegory.
Him
like,
not having a dad plays huge consequences later on, because basically he's looking for a dad and he finds one in Palpatine.
And sort of an Obi-Wan too. Well, though that's you could argue that's more of a brother.
We have one of the few speaking times of Darth Maul when he's talking to Darth Sidious, and he says, "Alas, we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. Alas, we will get revenge.
What are they getting revenge for?
That's a good question, because apparently like 1,000 years before this, the Sith were, it was kind of, it sounds like the Sith were kind of like a devil kind of thing, devil and God thing. You know, the devil was an angel and he didn't like what God was doing, so he rebelled and stuff. That's kind of the same thing. It was the same philosophy of, you know, the Jedi have one philosophy of you must always restrain your emotions, and the Sith were like, no, we gotta let our emotions fly all over the place. So it was kind of like a, you know, like a breaking off kind of thing. So, but you know, something happened like 1,000 years ago or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know if, like, again, if this is something that was in like the extended like universe stuff that I am not privy to. Like, yeah. I didn't know if they were getting revenge for something specific or if
it's nothing like canon yet.
Revenge maybe, for... you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So now they don't have a way to get these parts. Anakin says, I'll win the pod race and I'll get the parts. And Padme's like, are you sure you want to do this? The queen will not approve. And Qui-Gon says, the queen doesn't need to know. Qui-Gon knows what's up.
Yeah.
Oh, Qui-Gon knows. Qui-Gon 100% knows that's the queen.
Totally knows who he's talking to. That. So I thought that was really, really cute. He's just egging her on.
That he does it again where he's like, the queen trusts my judgment. And she's like, you assume too much. And I'm like, yeah, they know what's up.
So this is, now we get to the part where Qui-Gon tests the blood sample of Anakin and sends it over.
The midichlorians. Yeah.
He's over 20,000 midichlorians. That's even more than Master Yoda.
No Jedi has him count that high. I'm like,
yeah. The whole midichlorians, people were big mad about that. Oh boy, what do we think about midichlorians?
I like the idea. I mean, I'm the Star Wars. I suspend all reality and I go into the Star Wars mode. So you know what? I kind of like the whole midichlorians thing. Like I said, I wrote a bunch of blog entries about it. There's something to be said for that. Like, oh, okay, there's a measurable way to see that Anakin Skywalker is crazy off the charts, stronger in the Force than others. I liked that concept. I thought that was cool.
I'm happy that they kind of disregard it like later on in the series. Like they really don't talk about the midichlorians much in the later movies, and I'm kind of glad. There's so many things that are like a little irksome, but they're not deal breakers for me. That little dropped line about, oh, the midichlorian count means he's strong with the Force, whatever, I can get past that and still enjoy this movie. Like
it described as it's a whole, because what we're doing in this movie is we're going toward, this is how things used to be. This is the good times. This is the good old days. And that's how we used to do things. We used to, you know, measure midichlorians on people and see whether they're good enough for the Force. And if they're little babies that have high midichlorians, we make them Jedi. And if they're, you know, old kids like 9 years old that have high midichlorians, well, screw them. You're too old. It represents the old way of doing
things. I agree with you. Good point.
So, mm-hmm.
That is a good point.
Later on, you know, after all hell breaks loose and after, you know, everything changes, we don't talk about midichlorians anymore, because it's just, that was just the old way of doing things. So then we get,
that's not a way I had seen it before, but I like that point of view. Mm-hmm. I do like that, as like out with the old, kind of like, this is a new, we're doing it a new way. I like that. Thank you, Joe. So that makes midichlorians better in my head.
So Darth Maul arrives on Tatooine. He sends out the probes. Now we got pod race time. And here's Jabba the Hutt looking slim and trim. Look at Jabba the Hutt rocking it. Yeah, you go, boy.
pod race scene, second best scene in the movie.
You got Bib Fortuna behind him. You got all those characters that show
you
up.
Bib Fortuna was there. You saw some chick wearing the slave Leia outfit.
Yes, I knew that. I didn't catch that till this viewing. This time when I went back and rewatched it, I did not notice that like all the other times that I've seen it, but I noticed the Leia slave outfit bikini.
Pod race was amazing. Pod race was,
love the pod
so
race.
So well done.
I appreciate that more every time I see it. Yeah, so well done.
So good. And also a great video game.
Oh, the Pod Racer for the N64? Yep. Love that.
That was and like the arcade game too, like in New York, like you actually got
in
and
sit in the pod. Yeah.
Really, really cool stuff. Dang. So Anakin wins. He wins his freedom or something, but he can't win the freedom of the mother. Like that. Like, do we need
Did have a
slaves?
question
Like.
about that. Did have a question about that. So when Qui-Gon bets Watto, he bets the pod that, and Watto says no pod is worth two slaves, so you can get one or the other, right? So he wins, he gets Anakin, and then later in a scene after the race, they were like, look, we sold the pod. Look how much money we have. Couldn't he have just traded the pod for the mother?
No, she was too
No?
valuable. It's like he said,
Okay.
there's no
You can't.
the humans are too valuable.
Right. He wasn't giving up those as slaves, period.
Yeah, I
Okay.
mean,
Okay.
yeah.
I was just, that part always kind of irked me because it's like, oh, look, we sold the pod for all this money. Couldn't you have just like given Watto the pod and gotten the mother's freedom too?
Now
But
the
okay. Again,
dice,
I digress.
now he really wanted to keep Anakin, and if he lost the mother, so be it. And he rigged the dice, but Qui-Gon also rigged the dice too because he's a
Qui-Gon force waves that.
freaking Jedi. So they get okay. So they win. They get the parts. Anakin is introduced to Obi-Wan. Hey, how you doing? Hey. And then as they're about to leave, Darth Maul attacks Qui-Gon, and
Okay,
they have a pretty good fight.
you're skipping a major part here, though.
What's that?
Him leaving his mother
Oh yeah.
is
He leaves the mother. Yeah.
huge, huge. That's so important, and it plays such a role later on. And
Yeah, it does.
yeah, it that how many,
It's
I can't tell you how many times. Like again on the hyperspace blogs a million years ago, that was debated. Like, how could they make him leave his mother? How could he be expected to ever do anything right at, or stay on the straight and narrow without his mother when he was already nine? And I just think that, and it's funny, that gets glossed over a lot. I mean, that's huge. That's
And
huge.
that's why the Jedi way is we're
Sucks.
taking you away from your parents before you even think about your parents, before you even grow an attachment to your mother and father. We're ripping you from your family so you could become a space monk.
And that's the other thing is even if the mom had come with them, wouldn't the Jedi have just separated her and Anakin? Because you're not allowed
Right.
to have like you're not allowed to feel love or like have emotions towards like other people. You have to be like
Right.
so like grounded and focused on your like Jedi training and studies and stuff like that. So like he would have been separated from her one way or the other. So
The
yeah.
Jedi were right when they said, like, you have an attachment to your mother. There's no way you could be a Jedi. They were absolutely right, just because of what you said, Pam. It's your mother. Your mother
Yep.
who you didn't even have a father. And you're it's like, hey, and she even told him, she's like, don't come back.
Fair.
Dang. That's
Yeah, that scene
hard,
is
man.
powerful.
That scene is there, yeah.
It's a very powerful scene, I think. I think the Jedi way sucks. So there you go. That's another whole story. But anyway.
My other issue with the
Space monks, it
Jedi,
sucks. Yeah.
my other issue with the Jedi, and I think I brought this up on another podcast we did about something Star Wars related. So they talk about Anakin being the child of prophecy that will bring balance to the Force. There's like thousands of Jedi and two Sith. Why do they want to balance that?
This balance?
Yes,
You know
like
what? He
you're
did bring balance,
winning.
of course. There was 1,000 good guys and two bad guys. And then at the end, there was like two good guys and two bad guys. So yeah, he did bring balance to the Force. He wiped out all the good guys. What are you doing, man? What is this
I've never
prophecy? Where is this
understood that. I've
balance?
never understood that line of logic. Like, if he's the
Long
one who's supposed to
debated.
bring balance to the Force, let's murk the kid right now. Like,
Do you understand what you're he's gonna he's the one that's what balance? You're winning, bro. What's going on? I don't
okay, I'm glad
know.
somebody else has that issue because that never sat
No.
well with me, the whole
I
balance thing. I was
totally
like,
agree. I totally yeah, totally.
there's so many of you.
Here's the good guys. What's where is this? What are we doing here? Yeah. So they go to Coruscant. Padme meets Senator Palpatine and Chancellor Valorum, who I just learned today was General Zod in Superman
Zod, you
2.
just learned that today?
I just learned that
Come
today. I had no idea. I'm so excited. Kneel before Zod is
kneel
Chancellor
before
Valorum. I'm
Zod.
so excited.
Kneel before Zod.
That's a biggie.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea.
Gotta love this nerd crossover.
Yeah, oh, I love it.
Total
Love it.
nerd crossover. Yes, I love it too.
I can't wait to talk about Weird Al, but okay, so now Palpatine is working his he's just, you know, he's just the master manipulator. He tells the
Got
queen,
all his machinations going and
they're not going to do anything. Now we go to the Senate, and Palpatine says, "Yeah, look what happened because you taxed the trade routes. Now look what happened." And this drives me crazy. The Trade Federation comes like, "What are you talking about? We didn't do nothing. What are you talking about? Like, how is there no?" And then the whole thing was debating whether they invaded the planet or not. Like, isn't there no CNN in Star Wars or something like that? How would we? How are we doing? How are like that? That was just really annoying. Anyway, Qui-Gon goes to the Jedi Council and says, "I think a Sith attacked me." And Mace Windu's like, "Nah, that's impossible." And it's yeah, we see Mace Windu for the first time, which is exciting.
And
he doesn't do
a bunch
anything,
in
but yeah.
Yaddle and Ki-Adi Mundi and like a Kit Fisto, like there's a whole bunch of them there, which is really cool.
Yoda's girlfriend.
Yaddle, yeah.
Yoda's there's, girlfriend.
Yeah,
I don't know
the
whether she's a
only
girlfriend
other.
or not, but
She's until Grogu comes along, she's the only other Yoda creature you ever see, and she just sort of disappears too. But it's interesting. Yeah, it is interesting. And yeah, there's a bunch of characters in that Jedi Council that are interesting.
Yeah, so he tells Qui-Gon says, "Hey, there's a Sith that attacked me." Like, that's impossible. Come on. He also says, "Oh, by the way, I found this kid. I think he's the prophecy, the chosen one." And like, oh, that's
pretty sure
nice.
I found Space Jesus. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, okay, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see your little Space Jesus, whatever."
That kind of makes you hate the Jedi Council right off the bat.
Oh,
Like, I was like,
totally.
Oh, you're a bunch of jerks, you know?
Yeah. And I thought they were a bunch of jerks to Anakin, because Anakin's
horrible.
Like, yeah, like you got this little boy, like you actually like your mom, you weirdo. We don't like you. Like,
you have too much of a bond. No, and no Jedi training for you.
Yeah. Like, how did you not like? That's like some like if some kid in like downtown Pittsburgh was like the greatest football player ever, but and like Mike Tomlin's like, "I don't know if we could train you or not. I don't know. Forget it. We don't want you to be a football. We don't want you to be a Steeler." Like,
I just
you have the
American.
greatest Jedi ever. Here's an idea. Why don't you try to make him the greatest Jedi ever?
Yeah.
I don't understand how all Jedi that like get trained from a very young age to not have emotional connections don't grow up to be complete sociopaths. Like, how is not being able to access your emotions, how is that supposed to make you better at doing, like, I mean, maybe it makes you slightly better at controlling the Force, but how does that not make you like a sociopath?
I could talk about this subject forever. Yeah, that's a big one for me. I could.
How do you?
I had a sword out.
You know, let's say Obi-Wan is walking and he stubs his toe on a dresser or something like that. He's not supposed to feel anger?
Right.
Yes.
Knee-jerk reaction emotions don't exist in Jedi. Do you train yourself to just never, ever?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like
I said,
dumb.
I could talk about that aspect of it forever.
Right.
All right.
Another day.
Yeah. So Padme is fed up. It's like, we want to vote of no confidence for the chancellor. Let's get this done. And they vote no confidence or whatever. He says, "I need to go back to Naboo." And so she goes back to Naboo with the Jedi and Jar Jar and Anakin, and they
Jar Jar gets made Bombad General.
He gets made a general, yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
I have no idea how this military hierarchy works for the Gungans.
Yeah, but they see the Gungans, and Padme basically says, "I'm sorry," and that's when she reveals herself that she's actually the queen and not, you know,
and Tyrion. I love that surprise.
Yeah, but I loved that. I think I was surprised the first time I saw it. I do. I think I was surprised.
I don't remember how I felt.
Yeah. I think I was like, oh, I was, cool. Yeah. Go, Padme.
Yeah. And I like the scene where and then right after she does that, Qui-Gon looks at Obi-Wan and was like, I knew that. I knew. I knew the whole time. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew.
Totally had that.
But she basically throws herself. It's like, we are. She's basically asking them to go to war. Like, hey, can you please die for us? Please?
Yeah, can you be the distraction?
Yeah. So then you have this, like, three things going on at once. Padme leads some people to go to the temple. The Gungans are fighting the droids. And then the Jedi, of course, are, hey, showing up with who's also there? Darth Maul.
Best scene in the movie.
There's, like... Yeah.
Best part so of the
like,
movie.
Okay. And then he pulls this move. He pulls out this. Of course, it's not going to work now. Okay.
Anyway. You have to make that noise.
Yeah. He pulls out. Now, I don't remember the double. Like, people now treat the double lightsaber like the coolest thing ever. I just thought the whole concept of Darth Maul was the coolest thing ever. So I don't, you know, of course he's going to have a double lightsaber.
And I love the fact that it's Ray Park in that makeup doing all these moves. He was the stunt coordinator for this whole thing. He just like, I think having him be in the fight and be in that makeup just takes that fight to a whole other level. That's like
amazing.
The best lightsaber. It's like amazing. The best lightsaber fight in all of Star Wars.
There. Yeah. So Qui-Gon,
far, but I liked it.
Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Darth Maul, triple threat for the fate of the galaxy, and then of course we have the convenient laser walls of doom that just happened to pop up, which was really cool too.
That was really cool.
I liked,
where did the Jedi speed running go from earlier in the movie that they used? Like, where was that?
Why didn't you just use speed running or whatever? Yeah,
why did he just like speed boost down the hallway?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe he did, and they
no,
cut that
I don't know. There's some explanation for it, but yeah, I like when the walls were up and they're all waiting, and Qui-Gon uses this time to meditate. He's like, okay, or maybe he took a nap. I don't know. I mean, he is kind of old.
I mean, he's all about like being in touch with the living force and being present. I think that like fits for the character. It is a bit of a weird thing to do in the middle of a fight, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah. So Darth Maul kills Qui-Gon, and oh crap. Now it is kind of annoying that he just stabs him once in the middle in the midsection, and like, you know, nowadays you stab somebody in the midsection with a lightsaber and it's just like a little you go to urgent care and you get that all fixed up or whatever. So that was a little annoying. But Obi-Wan is able to kill Darth Maul, and this really annoys me that Darth Maul he's quote unquote gone, and he comes back like a million times. Yeah. Why did you even kill him then?
My thing is, Qui-Gon gets stabbed once. Freaking Darth Maul gets bisected and somehow comes back, but Qui-Gon getting stabbed once can't come back. Like, that's except as a Force ghost.
That was one of the very first memes ever. It was sale at the mall, everything half off, and it was this picture
sale
of Darth
at the mall.
Mall.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, like Darth Maul was one of the greatest characters. Why did you just? I don't know. That's just annoying.
I agree. It was made it sort of useless. Like, what was the point there?
They just brought him back anyway. In like the Clone Wars cartoon and the Rebels mm-hmm. cartoon, and it was amazing stories and stuff. But it's like, he's such a great character. But you know, it was called Duel. You know that music was called Duel of the Fates, and it's like that was it. What if Qui-Gon defeated Maul right there? What if Qui-Gon lived? Everything would have been different. Everything. Yeah. He would have trained Anakin. Anakin would not have gone the way he did, we'd all be, everything would be
Supposedly.
okay.
Yeah, supposedly, yeah. And let's talk about the other part of this like three-pronged attack where Anakin accidentally destroys the like droid control ship. This part again irked me. Like, I don't love the fact that he accidentally crashes in and accidentally fires the torpedoes that blow up the ship at the end. Like, it's just that's a
Hey,
little
what's this
too.
button do? Pew, 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 and it destroys the entire
But it's
army.
not accidentally. It's the Force working through Anakin. It's all those midichlorians coursing
It's
through
all
his
those
veins.
midichlorians.
He's
I just
meant to
love how all the
be
pilots are
this
like, why
pilot.
is it blowing up? We didn't hit it. Like, we haven't done anything. Why is it blowing up?
It's not that, I mean, I totally believe that, Anakin, because I mean, Anakin was not supposed to be a pod racer. No human is supposed to be a pod racer with all those controls and
Yeah.
stuff, So obviously he's using the Force already. But
Yeah.
what are you doing allowing one starship to even get through your most important defenses? Like what? Did the guy that designed the Death Star also design the Trade Federation control ship?
Apparently,
Because,
they use the same space architect.
yeah. Yeah, like my goodness. Two shots knocks out your entire army. You might want to consider a better design there, guys. My
And why did
goodness.
like if he just like randomly crash, not randomly, but the Force makes him crash into like the hangar bay, why didn't more ships just try to fly into the hangar bay? Like,
Right.
apparently that was the way
Right.
to do it, and they're like spending all this time shooting from outside, just flying into the hangar bay.
Everybody
Apparently
just go
that's
to
how you
that one
do it.
spot. Yeah.
But Anakin's not normal. That's normal thinking. That's
They're
normal
willing to
space
talk. All right.
thinking.
You call it the
Yeah.
Force, I call it a plot contrivance. It's fine.
Oh, either both. They're both correct. So the army is done, and Padme gets in. They use the Batman repel thing to go up the building. They
Oh,
go in,
yeah. I love that. I love
and
that.
she goes into her Lazy Boy and picks and opens a door and has a bunch of guns there and just
The
start.
little armrest, the guns. Yeah.
Let me grab
I
my
love
blaster.
that.
And I love, okay,
Oh,
so
man.
now the Trade Federation is defeated, and those two dudes are defeated,
The
and they're like,
Nemoidians.
we're gonna send you to the Senate, and you're in big trouble, mister. Like, you know what? Shoot those sons of guns. What are you doing here? Just knock them out.
I was gonna say, they
You're in
just
big
invaded
trouble.
your planet. I feel like murder is okay here.
Yeah, exactly. You were just at war. Kill those. You're like, oh no. You know what? You're gonna have your trade your trade
License revoked.
license revoked. That'll teach you.
I love that that's the security guy's like big line is like, I don't think you're gonna have a trade license anymore.
Oh
And he like
yeah.
walks off like that was a drop the mic moment. I'm like, dude, come on, man.
Good luck
Gotta
explaining
do better
yourself
than
to the Senate. The Senate will take care of
that.
you.
Have fun
Our
getting
buddy,
bogged down in bureaucracy for 3 years.
Senator Palpatine just became chancellor. He's gonna take care of you because he's our buddy. There.
That's the point. They're trying to show, oh, he's getting really important
Aren't
because
those the same
and
dudes
they
that
do a
started?
good job of that.
Weren't those the same dudes that started the Clone Wars? That like started like the whole.
The Nemoidians? Yeah,
Yeah.
they're the ones that run like the droid side of the Clone Wars, yeah.
Shoot
From
those
Geonosha?
SOBs in the head. So,
Yeah, I was gonna say we don't have a second movie if that happens.
right. Well, if Watto says we'll accept Republic credits, then we don't have Anakin Skywalker at all. So,
Touche.
I love when Palpatine comes to Naboo and he says to Anakin, he's like, we'll be following your career with great interest or
Oh,
something.
yes. Dun, dun, dun.
Da,
Yeah.
da, da.
Ominous. Yeah. And then they have the Viking funeral for Qui-Gon.
Now the movie is called Phantom Menace. Who is actually the Phantom Menace? You could
Ah,
say
that was
it's
another question
Sidious.
I had.
You could say it's
You could
Sidious.
say
You could say it's
it's
Padme. It
Palpatine. I always think it's Palpatine.
is,
Sidious. Yeah, it's the Sith, you know?
but Padme was sneaking
Yeah.
around too.
True. And Darth Maul's kind of mysterious the entire time until like I mean, actually even in the final fight he's kind of mysterious. They don't really know where he came from, so yeah. I always question the I mean, Attack of the Clones makes sense, Revenge of the Sith kind of makes sense. Phantom Menace doesn't really make a ton of sense.
The original title of the movie was just The Beginning. I kind of think that would have been
I didn't
better.
know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have preferred that, I think.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't have been able to go back in time with every book and novel and all
Right.
and
Right.
comic and
The beginning before the beginning.
the
They could have
pre-beginning.
just called it the
The
saga
actual
begins,
beginning.
like Weird Al
Yeah.
did.
Okay. The only thing I want to say about Weird Al is he did that parody of,
That's hysterical.
of American Pie, which is amazing. The thing I just learned is he didn't watch the movie before
Oh, really?
making that. The way he
I actually
got
didn't know that.
the lyrics, the way he got everything was internet rumors. Imagine the internet in 1999. The internet in 1999 was like three computers and using that billboards or something. Like there was not much of an internet in 1999, and he had to get the entire plot basically from internet rumors, from just rumors he heard. And then
Huh.
so what he tried to do was get an advanced screening of the movie, and they wouldn't allow that. But there was a charity event where you could see the movie before anybody else. So he paid for that. And when he saw the movie, he's like, "Oh, I basically got all the plots anyway. I got all the points anyway, so I'm good." So that's amazing. That I
It's a
mean,
great parody.
and
I love it.
if you hear the song, it's like he basically we could have just played the whole song, and that was the entire movie. He just
Yeah.
nailed it.
Here's your synopsis.
If you ever get the chance to see him live, I will highly recommend seeing him live. He is hilarious. And he comes out in like full Jedi regalia and like he's got stormtroopers backing him up as his backup singers. It's great.
That's fun. But
He
yeah.
for apparently he sings Yoda, yo 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 yo, and then he goes into
Y-O-D-A-Yoda.
this
I met him
verse.
in a swamp down in Dagobah where it bubbles all the
Yeah,
time. I see
oh
giant
wow, I
carp
love
and Navy
Al.
soda.
Okay. So any final thoughts on this movie?
It
One of the
gets
more
better every
underrated
time I
of the
watch it.
franchise.
You think it's what?
I think it's one of the more underrated. I think, like I said,
Yeah.
because of Jar
I
Jar
agree.
and because of and stuff with Jake Lloyd, I think this movie gets a lot of hate that it doesn't necessarily deserve. It's got the best lightsaber fight in all of Star Wars, first off. It's got one of the coolest characters. I like Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, and they're like kind of our in characters. So yeah, there's some flaws to it. It's not a perfect movie, but I like this movie.
Hey, compared to what they did with the sequels, I'm
Oh yeah.
perfectly okay with the prequels, man. At
I
first,
love the sequels. I love all nine of them. I love them and Rogue One and all of them.
we'll have to do another podcast to talk about The Force Awakens
Let's just
then.
say when there's the 25th anniversary of Attack of the Clones, I don't think we'll be sharing so much love for that movie. I'm
Oh,
just saying. I don't think I
yes,
think
we
that's I think
will.
Attack
That
of the
is the
Clones
one
was
I've
maybe the
seen the
worst of the
least, I
bunch.
think. That is the one I've seen the least.
Well, I can't wait till that happens because we will have things to talk about.
That's right. That's right. Guys, it was so so good seeing you again.
Yeah.
I this was awesome. And yeah, let's
Deadpool
I'm
on the
sure
horizon.
I'm sure we'll I'm sure we'll talk Wolverine and Deadpool.
Yep. And make sure you watch Loki season two if you haven't already, because that's going to play big into this, big into Deadpool and Wolverine. So.
Oh yeah.
So.
All right.
But I never finished it.
Guys,
All right.
thanks so much. I'll
All
see
right.
you.
Take care,
See you.
guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.